you have your Bibles or an app, or if you need to download one real quick, good luck getting service in here. I can't help that. But the YouVersion, the Holy Bible app, is a great app. Also, I think our services, are we still doing that? Our services on the YouVersion app, if you pull that one up, it's got our announcements and everything like that on there too. So great plug for that free app. It's cool. Last week, we kind of jumped into this series on prayer, and prayer is one of these things that God has given us as a tool to stay in touch with Him. And in my 15 years of ministry, the question I've probably been asked the most as far as in spiritual formation is that question of how do I pray? How do we learn how to pray? How do I engage this relationship with God? Early in our Christian walks, we learn about and experience others as they pray, and we experience through them the power of prayer. This week, just had a weird start to this week. I knew that Tuesday through Thursday, I was going to be in Dallas, Texas, and so my administrative opportunities were shortened. So I knew I needed to at least get a start on my sermon Monday so I wasn't killing Ryan and myself on Friday and Saturday trying to wrap this thing up. And so on Monday, I'm getting ready to start the sermon, and I get some other stuff that I have to deal with in ministry. And one of those things even was a friend of mine who's struggling with his church, a longtime established church over in Missouri. And he's saying, Holcomb, you know, I'm at my wit's end. And so I'm praying for my buddy Ben, and I'm praying for his church. And I've got some things that I'm dealing with here at the Refuge, and I'm trying to start a sermon. And bloop, my Facebook blows up with a message from Chad Hazen, a buddy of mine back in Burlington. And he says, hey, Holcomb, I don't know why you've been on my heart, but I just want you to know I've been praying for you the last hour. You know, why does that happen? Why does God put us on the hearts of other people? That happened to me when I was in college. I went to check my mailbox one day, and I had this letter, Pam Casson, the fourth grade Sunday school, that was the one, if you ever hear my testimony, that said, hey, Jeremiah, have you ever considered going into ministry? You work well with people. And I'm like, no, Pam, I'm going into forestry management. I know what I'm supposed to do because, you know, I've got my way figured out. And Pam Casson writes me this letter, and she says, hey, I don't know why God stirred me at 2 o'clock this morning when I'm writing you this letter, but I just want you to know, here it is, 2 a.m., I'm praying for you. Please finish the work that God has started in you. And why does God do that? But we experience the power of others who pray. And all of a sudden, we understand and we learn quickly that this thing of prayer is a powerful tool that God has given to us. And I can tell you on multiple occasions, my heart has been stirred to pray for others, often because I know of their needs or because of things that are going on, and they've been on my heart, they've been on my mind, and so I lift them up in prayer. I certainly am thankful for the prayers of others. I'm certainly thankful for my heart being pricked when I need to pray. And these are things that I can't explain, but I can say that I too have been encouraged by others even asking the question, how do I pray? As we start, and I did not grab my clicker, so I'm going to need your help back there today if anybody's still back there. But last week, we gave you two foundational prayer principles. And the first one is simple. There's no power in our prayer. The true power is in the one we're praying to. Okay, so I'm just going to give you these as kind of our ground rules before all of these messages. The second principle, as you see there, is the access point of prayer is all the time. I love that verse that Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica, pray continually, pray constantly, pray without ceasing, whatever your translation is. Prayer is something that's not that we just compartmentalize and we say, all right, I spoke to Jesus for my 10 minutes today. I'm good. Now I can go enjoy the rest of my day without Him. No, prayer is one of those things that's an all-the-time thing. We're in continual conversation with God that should never shut down. We should invite Him into every conversation, every location that we go, every place that we are. So as we bear these things in mind, as we look perhaps at the most familiar prayer of all time, the Lord's Prayer, we find this prayer twice in the Gospels. If you have your Bibles, Matthew 6 is the one that we're going to look at. We also recognize this in Luke's Gospel. And Luke's gospel, it's kind of fascinating. He records this prayer as a response to the question that the disciples had of him. Remember that? The disciples had a question. Maybe this question will sound familiar. Hey, Jesus, teach us how to pray like John taught his disciples how to pray. And we resonate with that, right? We say, man, I want to know how to pray. And so that's when we got the Lord's Prayer. And so on the screen here is going to be the Lord's Prayer over a couple slides. And I just thought, how fitting. Let's start the sermon by praying the Lord's Prayer together. And I apologize for that small font. But if you can't see it, then maybe your memory would be good enough. Although this is out of the Holman Christian Standard Bible. And so a couple of the phrases, like instead of hallowed be your name, it's your name be honored as holy. So let's dive in there. Let's pray this prayer together. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. How then should we pray? If this prayer was a response to that question, then perhaps as we analyze this prayer today, we can learn some lessons from this prayer, and we're going to even go back and pick up some more of the verses. But notice three lessons from the Lord's Prayer that we're going to learn today, and we see the first lesson in the verses preceding this model prayer in verses 5 through 8. If you have your Bibles, look back to verses 5 through 8 of Matthew chapter 6 with me. And that's where we kind of get, even Jesus, he's teaching in this series on some of these disciplines. What is it to practice our righteousness or to grow spiritually and be in right relationship with God? He begins in verse 5 saying, whenever you pray, he doesn't say if you decide to pray, but as often as you do it, whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. I assure you, they've got their reward. But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble like the idolaters, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask him. What powerful words. In these verses, we really quickly learn our first lesson from the Lord's Prayer, and that is this, that prayer is something we do for God alone. Prayer is something that we do for our relationship with God alone. Now, others may benefit when they're on our hearts or we're praying for them or praying that God would intercede in their lives and help them with a circumstance, with an illness, with getting to know him better. Whatever it is, prayer, though, is something that we do so that we can be seen by God alone. We can do that corporately as well. If we pray together as a body in public, it's not for the sake of being seen as people who pray in public. It's so that we together can be united under the headship of Jesus to say, this is what we want together and what we want you to accomplish. We're not doing that for us, because there's no power in our prayer, the one praying or the words that we utter. There's power in the one to whom we pray. If we join the prayer team because we think it will make us look good, we've missed the point. That makes sense? There's a warning, though. Look back to verse 1. Jesus jumps into this section. In verse 1, he gives us a warning, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of people to be seen by them, otherwise you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. What great comments and context there. You know what, I think it might be up here. Isn't that great? I had a great memory of seeing this thing. Awesome. And so this will help us out here. Okay, so in Matthew 6, 1. So we'll pick up those points again. And so thanks for your patience with me there. But notice, prayer is not about the flowery word formula that we can utter. God knows our needs before we speak them. That's one of those humbling verses in the Bible. I don't know about you, but that verse stirs me. We have a God who knows what we need. We live in the world of when we see a need, we meet it. And we serve a God who's like that. He knows what we need before we ask him, but there's something about us asking him that he specializes in. Because if he just gives us what we need before we ask him, pretty soon we start feeling entitled. And it pretty soon becomes about us, and it ceases to become about him. And that's what we're warned against. That's what we're asked to not do. We have God's permission when we pray to know that he knows our needs, so we don't have to worry about flowery word formulas. We can cut right to the chase. And if we're doing more than that, we must take care that we are not trying to win more than the approval of God when we pray. That's a good word, isn't it? Our prayer life should be simple, should be straightforward. God wants to hear our prayers and hear us call upon him. And this is why the reason we pray for God's approval and not man's is that simply this: we get our reward from the approver of our prayer. We get our reward from the approver of our prayer. And so this text says that if I'm looking for the approval of you, if I would ever get to a place where I'm worried about your impression of my prayer life, then that means I'm going to get my reward from you, and that's simply your approval. But if I pray to be approved by God, he's going to reward me. And I like you guys, no offense. And I hope you like me, and no offense taken. But God's going to reward us better than you or I could reward each other. And that's the whole principle here. So the first lesson we learn is prayer is something that we do for God alone. But notice, let's dive into the meat of this prayer. And I think the application is sometimes simpler than we even want to make it when we look at this model prayer. Look at the first two verses of the model prayer in verses 9 and 10. Therefore, you should pray like this: Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In those two verses, three times we see the word your. Your name, your kingdom, your will. Early on, the second lesson that we're learning here in the Lord's Prayer is to submit to God's ways. We're learning that we, when we pray, are putting ourselves into submission to him, saying, you know what, God, I want you to reign in my life. Whose name are we trying to make great? I hope we don't live to make great the name on the banner that we put outside of a building or on our business cards. We'd like to put them on the back of our jerseys and pound our chest, and we're going to get to see that this evening. Woo-hoo, they call it the Super Bowl. And I'm telling you, this is a day of grief for me. Because up till now, the Denver Broncos are the champions, and they're going to no longer be the champions this evening. And so there'll be no chest pounding regardless of who wins, because it's not my team. And for most of you, this is Chief Country. And so you got, or Chief Nation, right? That's what you call it. I don't mean to, upset the apple cart here or anything. But at the end of the day, that name on the back of the jersey, we can try to live for that name, right? For that last name or whatever mom and dad called us. But at the end of the day, there's one name under heaven that needs to be glorified. And when we pray, prayer is a great place to glorify that name and to put ourselves in to say, you know what, God, as I go and do this business adventure, I hope that the customer likes it, and I hope they like it, because I hope they know that I'm yours, and I hope that your name comes out of this somehow. We pray different when that's the thought process. Because most of the time we go into that saying, man, I hope that this is an easy job, and I hope I bid high, and I hope that I can make a lot of money. This is great. Because there is a sense of business in us, right? Even if we're saying, well, I'm going to be a good steward of it, and God's going to get a portion of it, and it's all grandioso in the end. But at the end of the day, if we start praying, you know what, Lord, this is about your name. So that even as we read late in Colossians, everything we do must be done as if it's done for the Lord. Why does Paul say that? He says that because of things like this. Whose name are we lifting up? And this prayer, this Lord's Prayer, does a great job of saying, God, yours is the name that we need to submit to. Yours is the name that we're under. And then we get to kind of the grit part of the prayer, right? I mean, right there at the top. To pray that prayer, your kingdom come, that's a hard prayer to pray. I want us to do that this week. I hope that this week we slow down this prayer to say, you know what, God, I want your kingdom to come, because we walk this mortal soil and we get so caught up in trying to create some heaven on earth. And friends, heaven's going to be better than this place. It's going to be far better than this place. And from our social network to trying to get people to like us, we make this kingdom on earth that we establish some kind of kingdom that we hope is going to stand. And really, when we look at it, this is just a kingdom built in sand. And wind's going to come. Our life is going to erode it away. We are one day going to die. We don't last forever. We don't know what those after us are going to do with everything that we established and that we got. We don't even know how long this nation is going to be called the United States of America, or who's going to be in control, because the reality is things in this world crumble and they fall, but there is a kingdom that lasts forever. And it's not the kingdom that I will ever sit in the lead seat in, but I know the King of that kingdom. And he says we can be a part of his kingdom in a submissive role when we say, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And sometimes that means that we do crazy things. I used to like Sunday afternoons with my family, but for the next 7 weeks, I get to go teach 3 Boy Scouts or Cub Scouts from a different den than we're in, because they needed a pastor to teach them the God and family curriculum. And from what I can tell, none of these 3 families are worshiping anywhere regularly, and so they need a pastor anyways. And 2 of the dads and 3 of these boys that are none of mine are saying, will you teach us the Bible? Well, I can look at that and say, you know what? Sunday afternoon, by the time that time rolls around, I have poured myself out like a drink offering, and I like naps on Sunday afternoons. I know you probably think I'm a lazy dude, but Sunday mornings wear me out, and I go, I like to 2:30, that's like nap time. But there's times that we say, you know what? I want to tell you, our ministry in Burlington was a comfortable ministry. But you know how scary comfortable gets sometimes? Because when I look at the face of my God and say, your kingdom come, your will be done, and I look at my kingdom going, this is a pretty nice kingdom here, God, you know? I mean, and now all of a sudden I'm going, this is going to evoke something different in me. I'm going to go do something crazy. This prayer is going to, if you start praying this prayer, it'll mess you up. So heed the warning, but it's a great prayer to pray. God, your kingdom come. And then we get to leave in a little more personal, because then we start getting into the thought life. We get into the personal desire life. It's not just about our stuff and who we are and who we hang out with and things like that. Then we start praying, God, your will be done on earth in the same way that it's done in heaven. This is a prayer that says, God, I want to believe the things that you believe about the place I live. What does God believe about earth? He believes that it's a place that's fallen enough that he would send his son to redeem it. Do we believe that about earth? Do our actions show that we believe that this earth is in a fallen state that needs a savior? Do we believe about this earth that there is only one name under heaven by which men must be saved? Do we believe the same things about this earth that God believes? And again, that they all tie in. And then all of a sudden we start asking ourselves, why do I do what I do? Am I doing it for my benefit? Am I doing it for my will so that I can get my way? And humility comes right out of this. I heard a great word last night. We were asked to go for Megan's cousin and her children. She got a 13-year-old and 15-year-old boy. They just went through a divorce. I hope they don't listen to this sermon online, because I'm sharing stuff that I know they're not going to want out there. But so in the Jewish faith, they do bar mitzvahs, and it's a great coming to rites. And so they thought, well, let's do a Christian version of that. And so for the 13 and 15-year-old, we got to tell them things we liked, and there was about six couples of people that are strong in the faith that were able to encourage their faith and then challenge them, saying, this is what a man looks like. I mean, I made these guys some man cards, okay? I put 1 Corinthians 16, 13, and 14 on that card that says, be alert, stand firm in the faith, act like a man, be strong. Your every action must be done in love. I mean, isn't that what a man does? I mean, a man's there, and on the back, I gave him a definition of a man. I mean, what a great time last night. We were enjoying this stuff. And we do this kind of crazy stuff because we want our boys to grow up to be men. And the whole point of that is not what any of us said. But in the midst of that, Megan's parents were invited to be a part of this because they're kind of great cousins, or, you know, they're related to grandma. And so they're sitting there, and I love the word they shared about humility. They said, boys, we got to be humble. And humility isn't thinking less of ourselves. It's just thinking of ourselves less. That's a good word. And so I just like to repeat good words when we hear them, because I think that's what this prayer does. When we say, God, your will be done here and now in the same way that it's done there. Because that's saying, God, I want you to be the king of this place in the same way that you're the king of the forever place that I'm going to because of my faithful belief in him. We begin to live and look differently. Prayer is important because it not only puts God in his proper place, it humbles us to recognize our rightful place. And really, isn't this the biggest tension that we live in our fleshly lives? This is the greatest tension that we feel because we want to be in control. We want to be on top. But we are temporal beings without hope beyond this life apart from God. The reason that we have hope is because God came and has never left and has always been present and has showed us the way out so that this place doesn't have to be our forever home. When we submit to living for the advance of his name, his kingdom, his will and causes, we find ourselves allowing him to become greater. And that leads us to the last great lesson that we see in the following verses, in verses 11 to 15. Let's keep reading there. In verses 11 to 15 of the model prayer, we continue to give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, and do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then we get two extra verses. Don't miss these verses, verses 14 and 15. For, Jesus goes on, if you forgive people their wrongdoing, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive people, your Father will not forgive your wrongdoing. Loaded two extra verses, right? And they showed up. This is something that's relevant for this last lesson. And what's the last lesson that we catch here? It's simply this. We receive what we need from God. The last lesson of this is we receive what we need from God. And notice, this is where it becomes about us. What is ours? Our bread. What is ours? Our debts. What is ours? Our debtors. That's what ours. But even in those cases, notice who does the action. It's still God, isn't it? Because he's the one that's giving us our needs. It says, give us our daily bread. And that's the challenge for us, is sometimes these menial things in life, we forget where we got them. We think that, man, we're doing all right. I mean, I put bread on our table, honey, you know. I mean, we're smoking awesome. Some of us, I mean, we're really good at this stuff. I mean, I know where the bread came from. Couldn't bake a loaf if our life depended on it, but we put it on the table. Because we're pretty proud. Others, we can bake it because we know what it is to depend on the Lord. and we found it cheaper to buy the ingredients than to buy it baked in different seasons of our lives. Regardless, give us our daily bread. I think this is a reminder that every little thing is a big deal to God, and He wants to give us those things, but we need to recognize the giver of those things. And then we get into this loaded piece of the prayer. Our debts and our debtors. And man, especially when verses 14 and 15 get brought in here, this becomes a big deal to us. This is also why when we look at our strategy wheel as a church, notice what this looks like. We accept Jesus as our Savior and Lord. Our signpost for encountering God's redemptive love, if we've believed on Him, is baptism. When we say, you know what, Jesus, I want you to be Lord and Savior of my life. And when we become a part of the body, we've accepted Jesus. We said, I want your blood to cover us. And so we're buried with Him. We join Him in death as we're lowered into the watery grave. We join Him in resurrection as we come up out of the water and say, Lord, I want to be with you forevermore. And that begins now. We become a part of the body and we grow in community. We get to start serving. And sometimes that service is simply this, humbling ourselves to a place of saying, I forgive you because you've wronged me. And we learned that from the encounter, didn't we? And so that encounter grew in us in such a way that we begin to share that with others. And why do we share that with others? Because most of the time, people that are hurting us, that are wronging us, that are not doing good to us, are people that are in a fallen relationship that needs to be restored. And we are merely modeling the grace. We are serving them so that they can encounter God's redemptive love, so that they can become a part of the family, so that someday they can forgive those that are hurting and wronging them, so that they can know Jesus as their Savior and Lord, and the wheel continues to spin. That's why this thing works, and it's not my idea, but we get it right from this book. But we see that even in forgiveness, we serve so others can encounter God's redemptive love. Notice who does the primary work, though, in these verses, even in the forgiving. We forgive because we learn it from Him. Notice His followers who have already accepted His grace are wanting to know how to pray. That's why we get these verses. And He's teaching them to both receive forgiveness and to give it freely as we've received it freely from Him. Notice what else God does. He's the one who leads us even into temptation. In these verses, what a scary thought. God leads us even into temptation. For some of us, that's an uncomfortable place to be. But this shouldn't be a surprise to us, especially if we've been reading the gospel prior to this. In Matthew chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 4, we get the clear picture of what this looks like. It says that the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan for 40 days. You with me? Jesus was tempted. The book of Hebrews in the New Testament tells us He was tempted in every way that you and I were, yet He was found without sin. Temptation isn't the issue. The issue, it goes back to even God, your will be done, not mine. And this is why James chapter 1 cuts the chase for us that way when he says, none of us should say when we are tempted, God is tempting me, for God is not tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. But each of us is tempted when, by his own evil desires, he is dragged away and enticed. And when desire conceives, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is full grown, it gives birth to death, speaking of the eternal death. We read that in James chapter 1. And so why when we look at these things, should it not be a surprise that God even leads us into temptation? I think it's so that He can remind us that even there He is with us. And even and especially there, we need Him and we need to turn to Him and say, you know what, God, I recognize that just like that last song we prayed, everything about this life is a place where we are in need of Him. We need Him. And that's why our prayer should be to Him and for Him only. That's why when we look at this lesson, this lesson is about us submitting to Him as the priority of our lives and saying, you know what, God, this place is hard and we've tried it on our own and we didn't like the outcome. So all of a sudden we said, you know what, I'm going to try submitting to you. And when we do so, it makes it clear we get to receive from Him. I love Richard Foster. He gave some great things in his book, The Celebration of Disciplines. He says, when he prays the first part of this prayer and he says, God, it's all about you, he says he prays a palms down prayer that models for him that I'm giving up my stuff and I'm giving it to God. Because God, I want your kingdom to come. I want your will to be done. I want your name to be honored as holy. And then after we've given up all of our stuff, then we can turn our palms up and say, you know what, God, now it's my turn to just receive from you everything that's good and precious in this life because I can't get it of my own. I need to receive even my daily bread. I forget that I'm dependent on you. And so sometimes we just need that simple posture, that simple reminder, but it's that simple. And not that it becomes about this, and we don't do that in public, but man, when you're in your prayer closet this week, or you go into that room, or you're in your car, or wherever it is that you spend that time in prayer, it's okay to do that. It's okay to sometimes let the body, it's not about that. Don't make it idolatry, but make it about just an idea in our minds that help us understand what is going on in the midst of our prayer. Because prayer is something that we don't need to make difficult. We should make it simpler. And in simple form, it is about giving to God and letting Him become greater and receiving from Him our every need, especially the restoration of our souls as we allow Him to forgive us from our debts. And as we forgive the debtors around us. And we know that that's especially important to God because of verses 14 and 15. There's a lot of great material on this prayer. You could read about every commentator under the sun is going to comment on this prayer. If you're looking for nuts and bolts, you're wanting to do something different in your prayer life, then I'll give you this. The Acts of Prayer is probably the most common prayer model that comes out of this prayer. Okay, and I just put it all up here on one slide if you're a note taker or whatever, or even you can take pictures of our screens if you ever want good stuff out of them that way. And we try to put all of our sermon slides on Facebook later in the week. There'll be a little video that just captures all the sermon slides if you want to catch it that way. But the Acts of Prayer is the prayer that just says we need to spend time adoring God, spend time in adoration. God, your name is honored above every name. And last week we talked about praying the Psalms. Anybody start that this week just by show of hands, just for me? Okay, I'm not a very good teacher. Hey, we got one. Thank you for praying the Psalms with us this last week. And I did. Megan and I actually do this regularly because we've been encouraged to do that as a couple. And so keep praying the Psalms. This is why I like to pray the Psalms. I learn more names about God. And it helps me know what God is like, what He's up to. In my prayer life, it helps me adore Him. Confession, that's something that should be natural and normal for us because we're all messer-uppers. And 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. He'll forgive us our sins and purify us from our unrighteousness. There's thanksgiving, and this one I think is stretched. The give us our day. Give us today our daily bread is kind of an idea of thanksgiving, of saying, God, you know, I'm thankful for even the little things in my life, and so we need to spend more time in thanksgiving. And then supplication, that's just a big way of saying making requests or continued requests. God, forgive us of our sins. Help us not to be led into temptation, and when we're there, provide us the way out that you've promised for us so that we can be with you. And so that's what we get out of this. So if you want a model, if you're wanting more nuts and bolts, because some of you, that's the way you think, that's the way you work, that's the way you live. Others, we just need to simplify it to say, you know what, we need to submit to God, we need to receive from Him. However you take it, there's good stuff to be gathered there, and the bottom line is simply this: submit to God and receive from Him in prayer. And if prayer has not been a part of your life, I want to tell you, it's going to be hard to restore your relationship with God. Because prayer is a great vessel and a tool. It should be accompanied with the Scriptures, because that is His opportunity to speak to us. Prayer is our response to how He's already spoken. God always gets the first word. But as we learn this relationship, it takes time, and we're going to grow in it with Him. For our closing today, I just want to go back through the Lord's Prayer, and I want to do it with you in such a way that I'm going to quote a section of the prayer, and then I'm just going to give us some time, maybe 30 to 60 seconds, to pray on our own. And you pray as you feel comfortable. If you want to pray out loud, that's fine. If you want to pray quietly, if you want to pray with your family, you're sitting next to your spouse or your kids, you can pray together as a family, even if it's just holding your hands and just being together, whatever you need to accomplish this. But let's just close our service today. We're going to have a communion and song here in a little bit, but just the sermon part of this service today, just in prayer together as we think back through this prayer. And so I'm just going to start. I'm going to read some of the phrases and then take some time to submit to the Lord. And so, our Father in heaven, Your name is honored as holy. And so let's just take some time honoring God's name and letting it become greater. And as we continue to pray, just pray that His kingdom would come. Pray Your kingdom come. And what does that look like in our specific settings? We pray Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So let's submit to God's will and lay our own at His feet today. As we maybe even turn your palms up and just say, give us today our daily bread, and receive from God even the simple and the common things that we're going to have today. And the biggest piece of that is our eternal state, and God cares about that most. And so we pray, and forgive us our debts. And might this be a time where we receive forgiveness as we confess our wrongdoings to God. We keep praying as we also have forgiven our debtors. Take some time to ask God to go before us as we forgive others. And might we find time today to maybe let them know we've forgiven them for the wrong that they've done to us. And do not bring us into temptation, Lord. Let's seek God's leadership into the battles of the flesh and the battles of our desires. We pray, but deliver us from the evil one. Let's allow God and give him glory for deliverance from sin and hell. Let's all pray together, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And every week here at the Refuge, we close our sermon. I like to think of this as taking us to the cross. And that's really why we do communion at this time of the service, because we recognize that the greatest thing ever done for us is what God did for us when he gave up of his son to die on the cross for our sins. And so as we just wrap this up and go into a time of communion today, might this be a time where even as we've prayed that we think about what it is to be in a right relationship with him and think about our contribution to that. Is all we contributed was sin. He contributed his perfect life and his death and burial and resurrection. He just asks us to believe in that and to come into relationship with him. It seems unfair. And yet every week at the Refuge, we want to recognize what he offered through communion when he told his disciples in the upper room, as often as you do this to remember me. He took the bread and he broke it, saying, "This is my body broken for you." And he said, took the cup and he said, "When you drink this, this is the new covenant in my blood. And drink it in remembrance of me." And so we want to remember him, regardless of what your denominational background is. If you've asked Jesus to be the Savior and Lord of your life, we invite you to partake in our open communion together. And we do this because we recognize we don't believe that we're the only Christians. Just the one thing you can trust from us is that we believe that we're Christians only. And we're going to trust in Christ and what he accomplished. And so if Jesus is Savior and Lord of your life, we invite you to the table with us during this next song as it's played. And I'm going to pray for this time. And I'm going to be up here. Maybe you've never said, "Jesus, I want your blood to cover me." I've never publicly said, "I want to be in a right relationship with you." Or maybe it's been a really long time. Or maybe you've said that a long time ago, but you're ready to say, "You know what? I want to model and go before people to say, I want to be baptized. I want Jesus to be the Savior and Lord of my life." If you have any of those or just want to be prayed with, meet me down here. I'd be happy to pray with you. God in heaven, we're thankful that you didn't just come create this earth and plop us down here so that we could mess up and then turn away from us. Instead, God, you turned to us and you made a way so that we could be with you forever. And that way begins even once we believe in you. And then you give us shadows that remind us of how you brought us close to you. Shadows like communion. And so God, as we take this bread, help us to remember your body and how you lived perfectly and yet broke your body for us. And as we take this cup, let us remember your blood that you spilled for us, that you shed for us because you loved us and because you couldn't stand being apart from us forever. And God, I pray that that would affect even our prayer life, that we would be wise to let you lead, that we would submit ourselves to your care, and that you'd get the glory because of Jesus Christ and because of what you've accomplished through him. And so we come to you now, Father, saying thank you and asking you to heal us and restore us, that we might be agents of change in this world so that others can know what we have in you, in Jesus' name. God and in receiving His love for us. And so thank you for joining us for that today. I have a few announcements to bring to your attention if we can get help to fly through these. Foremost, we're really excited about March Madness. Our women's ministry, Undone, has come up with a great opportunity for us. I think we're going to have some flyers and some handouts. But on every Sunday in the month of March, it's a five-Sunday month, we're going to be having a competition that's going to take us all the way down to the championship, if you will. So we're going to start with a round of 64. And our goal is to collect at least 64 items for the local food bank in town. And we hope we blow that number out of the water, but we're setting the goal of 64. And then the next week is going to be 32-something to bless another nonprofit in the county. And then the next week, 16. We're going to go all the way down to the championship. And for our championship this year, just to plant the seed, on the last Sunday in March, we're going to be just taking a second offering that Sunday, a free will offering, and it's going to be a competition, men against women. But the proceeds are going to go to the His Hands Clothing Store. Though it's not a non-profit organization, they do serve a lot of the people in our community with a free clothing section, and they've been in some financial challenge, and they're the only clothing bank in our local community here, and so we want to bless them, and so that's who's going to receive our love offering, if you will, on the 26th. So that's going to be our championship challenge. So look for more information on that to come, and please help us participate in some March Madness and serve others so that they can encounter God's redemptive love through our work together. Next slide there, letting you know that this Wednesday night our Refuge Youth is back up, and I'm excited. We've seen a need and are going to meet it as a youth group. We're going to be a rolling hot chocolate and cookie distribution center, and so we're going to give out 10 gallons of hot chocolate and the cookies that have been baked by our youth group kids, and we're just going to go. We're going to start in some of our trailer parks and just bless some people in our community that maybe needs some of God's love, and we're just going to go give them hot chocolate and cookies and pray for them. Figure that's a relevant time after we're learning about prayer to go and practice it together as a youth group. So that's what our students 6th through 12th grade will be doing. If you've got students in that age category, we want some more parents on deck that for that evening as well. You know, it'll get into after dark. We'll start at 7 o'clock in my driveway Wednesday night. And then the last announcement we have today is simply, you know, our big next step at the Refuge. Many of you have been to one of our Refuge Story dinners, but if you want to know what's the next step, how do I get to know more about who you are, what you do, why you do it, our Refuge Story dinner is really it. It's where we get to share our mission, our vision, our values. Maybe you're contemplating, is this a church I want to be a part of? Do I want to help plant this church in this region? And our next one is going to be the last Sunday here in February, so three Sundays from today. If you're able to be at our place at 4:30 that afternoon, we'd love to feed you. We'd love to hear your story. And then as part of that evening, we'll share why my wife and I moved to Eudora a year and a half ago to plant the Refuge Christian Church and why we want you to be a part of it. And so if you're looking for church to play a significant role in, please let me know that you're interested in that date. We try to do these monthly, so if that date won't work, just let me know. We can even find another time that works for you. So I'm going to go ahead and, if you guys would, as part of closing out, pray for us one more time. And thank you for being here with us today. Let's stand together, and let's worship together as we close our service.
Dear Heavenly Father, You are beautiful. Your name is beautiful. I pray, Lord, that we would just take refuge in You, because there is no other name, because it's so powerful. I pray, Lord, that You would guide us this week, that we would realize that we need You. We need You every day.